to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
For we brought nothing into the world. Everybody say, we brought nothing? We brought nothing into the world. Is that true or not? We brought nothing. Well, hadn't been a baby born yet with an iPod. Come on, somebody. They hadn't been one baby come out of the womb and, you know, have a 42-inch plasma TV attached to it, or a car or a house or a deed for property. We all came into the world with nothing, absolutely nothing, and we cannot take anything out with us. No, you'll never find a hearse with a trailer hitch. Come on, somebody. You can't take anything with you when you go out. And we cannot take anything out of the world. There was a young man full of himself because he had just graduated college. And he had his diploma. He had just passed a CPA exam. He'd become a certified public accountant. And he went back to his daddy's business. And his daddy had been an immigrant. And when he walked in, he finally had enough of it because he went into the back, and there in one drawer was all the cash receipts, and another drawer was all the bills, and all the money was over in the cash register and all that. And he said, Dad, he said, you know what? You don't have any idea how much you're worth. You don't know how much profit you've made. He said, your receipt's over here. You don't. He said, and finally the dad looked at him and said, let me tell you something. He said, your brother's a doctor. Your sister is an art teacher, and you are a CPA. He said, when I came to this country, all I had was a shirt and my pants. I had no shoes or underwear. He said, all I had was a pair of pants and a shirt. He said, take everything we got, add it all up, subtract the shirt and the pants, and the rest is profit. Come on, somebody. Go to the next scripture. So the name of the sermon today is Add It All Up, okay? Because every one of you came out of the womb with nothing. You started life with nothing. Everything else is extra. Come on, somebody. Add it all up. And here's Job said it right. I like the way we brought nothing in. And go to Job. Now watch this. I like the way Job said it in Job chapter 1. Hit that return key. Come on. Is it coming? Let me just tell you what it said. Job said, naked came I from the womb, and naked shall I return. Blessed be the name of... Come on, somebody. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. And he fell down, and he worshiped the Lord. Now, look at verse 21. You got verse 21? Yeah. So he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to talk to you today about add it all up. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to open our hearts, our minds. Lord, give us grace today to be so thankful that we almost burst. We just ask you to open up everything within us that we can see life as it really is and understand truth. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. Look at somebody say, add it all up. Would you say that? Just say, add it all up. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is what? Answer me. I'll trade you in. I told you before. It's what? It is what? It's the will. It's the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, sometimes our life looks like anything but anything that we could give thanks about. But there's always something positive to give thanks about. There was a lady one time during a big snowstorm. She was shoveling the snow out for a driveway. Her neighbor came over and said, isn't that bad? Your husband's inside in the warm and you're out here shoveling snow. And she said, well, somebody has to stay in with the kids. She said, we took straws and we chose straws to see who won or lost. Oh, you lost? No, I won. Come on, somebody. So sometimes it's how you look at it than how it really is. Dr. Dale Robbins writes and says, I used to think people complain because they had a lot of problems. And then I came to realize they have a lot of problems because they complain. Come on. Complaining doesn't change anything. In fact, what it does is it amplifies frustration, spreads discontent, discord, and invokes an invitation for the devil to come in your life. Psalms 77 said it this way. It says, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and what happens? My spirit was overwhelmed. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Go ahead and do this first video. Let me show you this little video called Thanksgiving. Bring the lights down. You can bring it back up. Everybody say amen, would you? You know, sometimes when you put it in perspective, you just really get, life as it really is. Pearls Before Swine, one of our favorite cartoons we read around our house. Rat is talking about, he's so upset when he gets the loaf of bread and all that's left is the two ends. And then Pig says, you know what, I really get upset when there's no food at all. Come on, somebody. And Rat says, stop putting my life in perspective for me. You know what happens in life is when you put it in perspective, you really learn. Philippians 2 says it this way. Look at this. It says, do all things without what? You know why you grumble? Because you're not thankful for whatever it is. You start grumbling or questioning. It says that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights. Everybody say shine. You know, one of the best ways you can ever shine at work is not by giving them the four spiritual laws, though that is absolutely important. Notice, quoting this and that. You know, one of the best ways you can ever shine at work and shine at school and shine in your neighborhood is don't grumble or complain. Be a thankful person. When everybody else is complaining about the boss, you begin to find good things to say. And they may not like you and you don't join in with them. But you will be different when they listen and see you not complaining and grumbling in your life. You're becoming a thankful person, a positive, thankful person, one of the greatest witnesses in a dark world. You give thanks. You know, one of the things that I did even when I got away from the Lord was give thanks when I eat. You ever gave thanks? Does everybody give thanks when you eat? One time a guy was giving thanks, and a guy at the next table said, "Well, what are you doing over there giving thanks? Who are you thanking?" He said, "The only person I got to thank is myself. I work all week, and I make my own money, and I don't thank anybody." And the guy said, "Yeah, my dog does the same thing. Come on, somebody." Put the food down there. He just goes right on and just eats away. He doesn't thank anybody. He doesn't thank. And what happens is life is you begin. And one of the things I did in my life, even when I was unsaved, even when I got away from God, I used to give thanks every time when I eat food. It's one of those ingrained things that was put in me by my parents. But 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God." You know, people say, "Oh, I want to know the will of God for my life. If I just knew the will of God." Let me tell you what it is. Next time you get ready to complain, let me tell you the will of God for your life. Don't complain. Give thanks. In all, everybody say all. Give thanks in all. Now, it doesn't say for all. It says in all. That's a difference. You can give thanks in all things to the God who will bring you out of them, change them, giving thanks for our lives. I want to talk to you about three short things, and then we're going to go gorge ourselves outside. Number one is this. Number one is we have it so good. You have to realize we have it so good. You know, 1 Timothy 6 and 7 says, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty." He doesn't say there's nothing wrong with being wealthy or being good, well-to-do in this life. He said, just don't get haughty about it. Don't get high-minded about it. He says, don't trust. Don't set your hopes on uncertainty. How many know that riches are uncertainty, especially in the stock market today? But on God, who richly provides us everything to enjoy. Now, one of the keys is the Bible commands us to understand that we have it good. When you look around the world, you realize how good we have it. One of the best things I've ever did for my kids was take them around the world. Take them to Siberia. Take them to some of the countries we've taken them to. You don't have to preach or teach them anymore about being thankful for what they have. And what happens in life is you kind of grow, and we have it good. How many of you started out poor in life? How many of you started out poor in life? Yeah. You know, your mama was so poor she had to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken and lick somebody else's finger. Come on, somebody. we had our CPC banquet the other night, and I got to sit beside Mike Huckabee and talk to Mike Huckabee. And Mike Huckabee is, you know, he ran for president. He's got his own show on network. He travels 300 some days of the year. He's in a different bed. But he was talking about, he said, "You know what?" He said, "I cannot really believe what I'm doing." Because I asked him, I said, "How's your faith? How's your walk with the Lord doing?" And then I said, "How's your relationship with your wife?" I just, you know, I probably heard all the other stuff. I said, "I'm just going to pinpoint him and ask him these things and challenge him." He said, "You know," he said, "I'm doing better on my faith now because I'm always having to respond to unbelievers." And then he said, "My wife and I get away quite a bit." He said, "We just got back from Italy. We were down in Tuscany in Italy, and we got to spend a week." He said, "But you know what?" He said, "I'm going to tell you how thankful I am for everything we're doing." I said, "Do you ever get tired of doing that, just saying the same old questions over and over, because we've done that as we've traveled, had to repeat?" And he said, "Not really." He said, "Because you don't know, but I grew up dirt poor in Arkansas." He said, "I didn't have a penny." He said, "We were one of the poorest families in Arkansas, where I was from. And to believe that I'm doing what I'm doing now, the people I'm meeting," he said, I just stay thankful for what I've got." And so what happens is, when you realize that we all started out the same, we came into the world with nothing, we go out with nothing, add it all up and everything else is profit in our lives. You can be thankful for that. And I want to tell you a little thankful. Here's another little video called "Are You Thankful?" Go ahead and play this one. Go ahead. By faith. you might not be able to see it. Turn the lights on. You don't have it? It's not playing? Yeah, I want you to see this one. Nope, wrong one. It's the wrong one. Stop that one. Little stop button. Video number two, are you thankful? Am I thankful right now? No, wrong one. Wrong one. Right, the last one. Lord, I'm so thankful. Everybody say, give thanks. Come on, give him a good clap offering, would you? Everybody say, we have it so good. We have it so good. Number two, real quick, is we enjoy it so much. We have it so good, and we enjoy it so much. And look at Timothy again, because it's really nothing wrong with this. As for the rich in the present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on certain riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to what? To feel guilty about? Absolutely not. But to enjoy. But the problem is, some of us enjoy it too much. And it is for our enjoyment, but it's not made, we're not to focus entirely on the gift, but on the giver of the gift. Not to get so, you know, concentrated on the gift that we lose sight of it. You ought to read James 1 and 17 says, every good gift and perfect gift comes down from above, and God gives it all. But what happens is, Timothy 3 says, we've become this way. This is what's happened in our generation. He must manage his own household with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. The next one. For if someone, no, I think it's the wrong verse. The right verse says that that we have become lovers of self and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That literally we've become where we've worked at our worship. I mean, we worship our work, we work at our play, and we play at our worship. And what happens is we literally get consumed with Friday. And then we think about Friday and what we do on Saturday. Let me tell you something. Let me just bring this up. It may seem foreign to you. You know what? One of the keys is some people stay up so late on Saturday night that they sleep through Sunday morning.
Have a good, better amen.
You stay up so late and do so much that when you come in on Sunday morning, you're so tired. What do you think the Lord would honor if you said, you know, I'm not going to do that Saturday night because I want to be alert to hear the Word of God on Sunday morning. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be that. I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to let that in my heart. I'm not going to dull my senses, my thinking. I'm not going to get so tired I can't even move a muscle, you know, when I'm sitting in here. Hope nobody touches me. Because you want to honor the Lord. That's nothing to do with people. It has to do with honoring the Lord. And you come to a place where you enjoy everything you have, but you own it and it doesn't own you. You enjoy. Come on, somebody say amen today, would you? Look what 1 Timothy 6 says. I like the way it says this way. 1 Timothy, go to 6. Says, as for the rich of present age, charge them not to be haughty, that does set their hopes, but God gives all the things to enjoy. And watch this. Next scripture. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, ready to share. Now, I like verse 19. Watch. Thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is what? Truly life. Can I tell you something that's really life? At the end of your life, I've done a lot of funerals lately. And not a one of them got up and said, you know how much money so-and-so made? You know how much money he's got in the bank? You know how many hours he spent at work? None of that stuff came up. You know what came up? I remember when they did this. I remember when they helped there. I remember when they gave this. I remember when they did this. Let me tell you what truly life is. If you want to live a life that you're going to be proud of it when you're sitting in your casket, is be a life that you not only enjoyed what the Lord gave you, but you shared what the Lord gave you. Because only a real person that's been blessed by God knows you can never outgive God. Because when you give it away, God gives you more. When you give that away, God gives you more. When you give that away, God gives you more. If you're afraid that you're going to run out, you don't know where the blessing came from. But then you think you got to just me and my four no more. We've got to hoard it. Can all you get and get all you can. But there's a God that gives. And the more you give, the more he gives back to you. And the more you can be a channel for what the Lord. Come on, somebody help me. So you find out what really life is. It is more blessed to give than to receive. True life is more blessed to give. Proverbs 25 says it this way. If you have found honey, eat only enough for you, lest you have your fill of it and vomit it. Have you ever had a thing of cake left? How many know you can dig your own grave with your fork? Come on, somebody. What a way to die. But you can dig your own grave with your fork. You just go by, you keep eating and eating and eating until you ate half or three-fourths of the cake is gone. Cookies. You know what? You swore this season you're not going to eat as much as you did last year. And you walk by the refrigerator, and next thing you know, that cookie launched itself from the shelf and right towards you. And just to protect yourself, you opened your mouth. Come on, somebody. You know, we can often get too much of a good thing, and that's why we enjoy it too much. We are given these things to enjoy them. I remember you ever did a trip and try to do too much on a trip? You ever went on a vacation? The first time I went to Europe, I went by myself, bought me a 2-week ticket. And when I got over there, bought me a 2-week Eurorail pass. And I'll never forget, I flew into Frankfurt. And I went over all over Europe, and I went all over. I went one night. I got on a TGV out of Paris to Nice, which is the Riviera. And I was going to take and the TGV is their big train system, goes 180 miles an hour. Come on, somebody. And one of the most amazing things in my life back then, I remember I got on this thing and we passed a TGV coming back the other way, 180 miles an hour. I mean, you ought to be going 180 and pass one going 180. And even as fast as I was traveling, when I got done with my trip in 2 weeks, I realized probably, I don't know, out of 14 days, 11 of them was spent on a train going from one spot to the next. I would have enjoyed it a whole lot better had I just stayed in one place and did it. And because it was given to me to enjoy. 1 Timothy 6 says this, verse 5. Go next one. It says, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. Now, there is great gain in godliness with contentment. Sure is. Verse 7. It says, for we brought nothing into the world. We can take nothing out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we'll be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, snare, many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds. There was a guy who had a program on TV. He said, for the lack of money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money, not the lack. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. Let me tell you something. God gives us everything to enjoy, but you don't want to enjoy it too much. All right, number two. Number three is we express it so little. We are so blessed. We enjoy it maybe too much sometimes, but the last one is we express gratitude so little. You know, the 10 lepers that were cleansed, it mattered to Jesus that somebody said thank you. It mattered to the God of the universe that somebody said thank you. And you know, one of the keys about saying thank you, Charlie Brown, one time he was on Thanksgiving Day, he was feeding Snoopy, and he brought Snoopy's dog bowl out with dog food in it, and Snoopy knows it's Thanksgiving, and he looks at it and he thinks, the rest of the world is eating turkey with all the trimmings, and I, because I'm a dog, I get dog food. And then he thinks, you know what? I could be a turkey. Come on, somebody. There is always... So I don't know what you got to complain about today, but when you go outside, think that through in your mind. I could be a turkey. Come on. And you will suddenly take a step up from all your complaining real quickly. We were in L.A. one time, I remember, and I read a little thing in the newspaper. It was in the parking citation. It was on the parking citations. It said one of those meter maids had come by and said... must have given a ticket to a car, and the wind blew it off. Car drove away. And somebody had come by and found the ticket on the ground. And it was a $5 ticket. And all had attached a $5 bill and sent it into the parking citation place to pay this person's bill. And a note attached said, I would like, out of gratitude, to pay this person's bill. Undoubtedly, he either threw it away, it flew off, he didn't know it or whatever. But I just felt, I want, out of gratitude, for all the times I should have got a ticket and never got one. Until you love that story, we'll move right on to the next one. Let me tell you this. I'm thankful for the taxes I pay because that means I'm employed. The clothes that fit too snug because I have enough to eat. My shadow who watches me work because it means I'm out in the sunshine. A lawn that needs mowing. Windows that need cleaning. Gutters that need fixing because it means I have a home. The spot I find at the far end of the parking lot because it means I can walk. My huge heating bill because it means I'm warm. And all my other kids are warm. All the complaining I hear about our government because it means we have freedom of speech. The lady behind me in church who sings off-key because it means I can hear. Come on, somebody. Piles of laundry and ironing because it means my loved ones are still at home and near me. And the weariness and aching muscles at the end of a day because it means I've been productive. Add it all up. You may have read the story of the little bubble boy, David, 12 years old. They interviewed him. He'd been in a bubble most of his life because of his immune system had crashed, and he was not able to protect himself from all the diseases and all that would attack him. And they interviewed him and asked him, what would you like to do what's your greatest desire of your life? And he said, I would like to, number one, walk across grass with bare feet. And number two, I'd like to hold my mom's hand. That was his desire. Listen, when you add it all up, everything else is profit. I want you to bring the lights way down. Get the last video. Ready? Bring it down. Bring your videos way down. Watch this last video. bring the lights down a little bit. When I was a little boy, I went to church. We just went to church all our lives. And my dad was a deacon in a Baptist church. And he was a saved deacon. Come on, somebody. He was a saved. And we used to have a big Bible in our on our coffee table we used to open. And one of the first songs that he ever taught me that I remember singing as a little boy was Count Your Many Blessings. You remember that song? You remember that song? So let's see if we can just this. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Close your eyes just for a minute, would you? You know, the verse says, when upon life's billows, I don't know what billows are, but once upon life's billows, you are tempest-tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will. And Jasmine was telling me this morning, it says, we say surprise. In the Armenian, it says, you amazes you, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. You know, sometimes, I want you to do right now, before we leave in this place, I want you to think of the blessings the Lord has done in your life. When you get so discouraged and you think all is lost and all of this, listen, take what you started with, add it all up, and you'll see the blessings the Lord has done in your life. You got children, you've got houses, homes, you've got so much to be thankful for. It's like Job, even when he lost his children, he knew, I didn't lose them. When you read the book of Job, the Bible says the Lord gave him back double for all his trouble. But when you read it exactly, he got double sheep, double this, double that. But he didn't get double kids. You know why? Because he still had his first kids there in heaven waiting on him. Never lost them. They're in heaven waiting on him. And when you understand that you didn't lose those things, the Lord has taken them, and they're there. They're waiting on us. And so there's nothing when you begin to add up all the Lord has done for you and all the Lord. You know, you can get discouraged thinking you've lost everything, but that's not true. It's only a lie of the devil. Father, this morning we are so thankful. We love you. We give you honor as the God who gives good things. And we thank you for the enjoyment of them. And we thank you for the ability to give and to be givers and to be channels of your great grace in both spiritual, material, and emotional things. How we love you with all our hearts. Everybody said a good amen. Hey, can you give the Lord a good clap offering this morning? Come on. Bring the lights up. Okay, here's what we're going to do today. We've got a great day planned. We've got an egg toss we're going to be doing. We've got a big cabbage ball game that we'll be playing outside and a few other things. But mostly we're going to start fellowshipping. And I want to encourage you to do this. I want you to really meet somebody maybe you've not met in a long time or never met. Instead of just getting in your own little group, why don't you break off and meet somebody maybe you've never met before? We had such great weather. The grounds were so good and dry until they had a birthday party yesterday and they turned the water on out here and left the water running all night. So when you go out, here's what we're going to be doing. You need to listen to instructions exactly because we've changed it. You're going to be getting your food, going out the glass doors and walking through the playground. The little playground, we open up the doors. Yeah, they just open up the doors now. So we tried it all out. So we'll be going through the playground, and you'll see that because if you try to walk along the building, you will sink. We're saving that for the tug of war later on. Come on, somebody. And we're going to have the women against the men. And so it's going to be a great day. So we would invite all of you to come to the swamp. And so we'll be doing that. And so listen to it carefully, but we need to change it. We tell the guys may have not told you, but we're going to be walking through. They got a fence, big fenced playground. Walk through that and out the other side. Don't walk to the right. And Amy will tell a bit more. But before we do anything more, let's turn it back over and I'll pray for the food right before we leave. Welcome, Amy. She's going to come up and share about all the things. Where's our mic? Let me find the mic.
Hello. Okay. We have lots and lots of yummy food up front, and I think for the most part it's warm for you this year. So just a few reminders. Please remember to get your kids before you go get in line. So if they're in nursery or kids zone, just go pick them up, and then you can go on to line. We're doing a little bit different this year. All the food is in the fellowship hall this year. This is our help to make it warm. So if you go in the fellowship hall through the glass doors, people will be in there to direct you. There are two lines. You can go on either side of the table. So that'll make four lines. And it'll direct you right out. When you finish the line, you'll come out of the parking lot over here. And then you walk around, go through the playground like you said. I didn't know that one. The other option, you could come down this walkway right here. It is dry also. So either way is fine. Just don't walk along the side of the church because it's wet and mushy. Just in case you wanted to know, Ben and Kirby's turkey is on the very far line. We're told it tastes great, but we don't know yet. Okay, and then the last thing is, outside all of the, where we normally set up, all the desserts are out there, all the drinks are out there, and we've actually put all the napkins and utensils outside too. That way you don't have to carry 14 things out with you. So get your food, and then everything else is outside for you. There are people serving drinks out there for you. We'll have two games. We have cabbage ball, and we have egg toss, like Brother Terry said. So that's it.
Pick up your kids. Just wanted to say that again. Hey, let's take a minute. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we do thank you in this season of our country, of remembering a great Thanksgiving and how we were born out of Thanksgiving. And Lord, we feel as Christians that we are the same, that we're born out of Thanksgiving. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for this food that we're about to partake. Thank you for the love and the giving and how we are so gracious. You are so gracious to us in every area of our lives and how we love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Hey, let me tell you, if you did get a turkey, you get reimbursed for that. If you bought a turkey, turn it in to one of our staff and they'll reimburse you on that. And just let them know who it is. All right, let's go ahead. Let's go enjoy ourselves and come on up. Go grab your kids and then come on up to the fellowship hall in the front. That's the building in the front.